In Judges chapter 1, we're going on pathway to the blessings of God. Anybody here already blessed? How many of you want to continue to be blessed? How many of you want to be blessed more than you've ever been blessed before? Well, follow Jesus, and I guarantee you the blessings will follow you. Amen. Pathway to the blessings of God. Judges chapter 6 and verse 1 is where we're going to begin. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now I go to verse 24 in the same chapter. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and he called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take up thy father's young bullock, even the seventh bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal and your father has, and cast down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God under the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of the servants and did as the Lord said unto him. How many of you know it pays to obey the Lord? And so it was, because he feared the father's household and because he feared the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood by him, Will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. In other words, If Baal's really a god, he ought to be able to defend himself. How many of you believe that? How many of you know the one true God knows how to defend him, his own self? Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. That makes a difference. And he blew the trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered unto him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and to Zebulun, Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. Hallelujah. Take the prayer sheet in your hand. Father, thank you today, God, for the power of prayer. Lord, one of the great opportunities we have is time in prayer with you. Lord, we closed out last Sunday's message talking about building an altar. It's time to build an altar in our homes and in our lives to communicate with God, because, Lord, you have blessings waiting on us, answers, prayers waiting on us. And, Lord, we thank you today as we come to prayer. There is no distance in prayer. And we pray over all these requests on this sheet today. And Lord, we thank you for working mightily in everyone. And we pray especially for Amber today, God, who's had that surgery and had difficulty recovering from that surgery. Touch and heal and bring and minister to Amber DeMott today, I pray. Father, for Diana, God, we thank you for just doing a miracle of restoration, that all those little blood vessels go into the brain, that pump, that flow into that brain would be opened and clear, and there will be no sign of stroke. We ask you for a miracle and thank you for it today. We pray for Brian Williams, God, that sugar would be brought under control in the name of Jesus right now, to the glory of God. And Lord, we pray for Sherman Hughes, Lord, that you'd extend your hand. And Lord, so many others, God, even in this room, that you would heal and restore and minister, set free and do miracles that only you know how to do. Now, God, bless your word and the reading of it, and accomplish what you desire in our lives in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Thank you for always standing in honor of the word of God. Praise the Lord. Before the 7 years of oppression was mentioned in verse 1, Israel had experienced 40 years of peace and of rest from war. Then the people rebelled against God and began worshiping idols. You think after God works in your life over and over again, you wouldn't keep going back. But they did. And they began to worship idols. And because of their worship of Baal and the worship of Asherah, God allowed their enemies to prevail over them. Israel not only lived in fear of their enemies, they were constantly living near starvation. It's one thing to turn from the Lord. It's another thing to almost die physically as well as spiritually. Can you say amen today? Verse 11 said that Gideon, hiding by a wine press, and he was threshing wheat. Gideon wasn't hiding because he was afraid of the Midianites. He was hiding so the enemy would not take from him the wheat he was preparing for his family. He knew he had to provide for his family. Once each year, the Midianites and all their allies would come around harvest time, take all the crops, take all the livestock, everything they'd worked and raised. And Israel would run to the mountains, hide in caves, until they were gone. That's a terrible life to live, isn't it? To have the enemy come and once a year leave everything and lose everything and have to start over. From home to caves, from caves to homes, once a year. So for 7 years, the devastation built up until there was a loss of hope. And that's when the people cried out to God for help. How many of you know it pays to cry out to God for help? In response, God sent a prophet with a word from the Lord. Then he sent an angel to Gideon to deliver Israel, telling Gideon to deliver Israel and defeat their enemies. Once God confirmed his call upon Gideon as a deliverer, then Gideon built an altar to the Lord and he called it Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah is our peace. Is there anyone in the house today that can say, Jesus is my peace? Yahshua is my peace. Jehovah is my peace. Hallelujah. It's wonderful being able to have peace in the midst of the storm. Have you ever been in the storm and had peace you didn't understand yourself because you trusted in God? Wow. In the midst of the devastation, Gideon began to realize that the Lord was their hope. The Bible says the same night Gideon built the altar, the Lord began to speak to him and give direction. So number one is this. One of the paths to the blessing of God is the path of prayer. Now, last week we took some time and read scripture about prayer and getting into your prayer closet and spending time with God. Prayer and communion with the Lord is one of the most important things that you can do, that I can do. The altar is not just here, and there is an altar of the heart where Jesus needs to sit and rule in our lives. But the altar is where we meet God, and that place, the altar, should be the most visited place of our lives. Wherever it is that you spend time with God, you need to spend more time with Him there. Wherever it is, I spend time with God. Sometimes it's here. Sometimes it's in my office here. Sometimes it's at home in my office. Sometimes it's walking back and forth at home and praying as I walk. We need that time with God. The altar made a difference for Gideon. Once he built the altar and began to communicate with God, God began to speak to him. Is there any of us here that realizes we need God to speak to us today? He doesn't always speak in an audible voice, but He'll impress in your mind and your heart. But He'll also, when you open up the book, He'll make it so real that you'll know that God is talking to you. Wow. So one of the paths to the blessing of the Lord is the path of prayer and communion and fellowship with God. I want to ask you, where is your place where you spend time alone with God? If you've not found one yet, make a place. Be like the woman on Prayer Room. Clean out your closet. Ladies, get rid of some shoes. Amen. Men, get rid of some suits or whatever you need to do. And get in that prayer closet or find a place in the bedroom or maybe in a garage or somewhere and spend time with God. If you know that it works, I want you to just raise your hand real high and you know that prayer works because God answers. Isn't it wonderful to know that? Number two, Gideon's work of deliverance began at home. It says, the same night Gideon built the altar, God began to speak. And the Lord's first command to Gideon was, clean up your own house first. Now, I could go to Matthew 7, I believe it is, and start talking and reading some scripture this morning where he says, get the mote out of your own eye before you try to get it out of somebody else's eye. In other words, he's saying to us, clean up your own act. Two or three soft amens today. That can keep us from a lot of things if we'll keep our own life straight. We need to be concerned about one another, but not always point a finger at others. And let's start at home where we live. Can you say amen? Clean up your own house first. I want you to notice in verse 25, the Lord said, take your father's bull of 7 years old. Isn't it something he said, a bull of 7 years old? I wonder if he wanted that one to be sacrificed, because that bull would represent when they first came into went under the oppression of the Midianites. But when that bull was sacrificed, it was getting ready to bring them out from under the oppression. How many of you think 7 years is long enough to suffer? Wow. So God spoke and said, take your father's bull of 7 years. And he also, then he said, tear down your father's altar of Baal. Why didn't he say, Gideon, tear down the altar you built? Why didn't he say, Gideon, you need to kill your bull? He said, your father's bull, your father's altar to Baal. By the way, if you really study, Joash, Gideon's father, was making money by providing an idol of Baal and Asherah. It was on his property. People came there. He ran it, and he was making money. Men, we're going to have to answer to God for what we allow in our homes. Amen. We can't blame our wives if we let sin come into our house when we're the man. Women, you ought to be shouting me down this morning, but I know you don't want to get in trouble at home. As the head of the home, as the priest of our home, we're supposed to set the standard. Amen. You may say, Brother Bracken, what's the standard? I've got it right here. This is the standard. Come on, are you with me this morning? This is the standard for Leo Bracken. Amen. This is the standard for you. This is the standard whether you're a pastor or not. This is the standard whether you're a member of a church or not. This is the standard if you know Jesus and are going to follow Him. This is the standard that applies to the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Church of God, the Assembly of God, and the Independents. This is the standard for the believer of God, and this is the standard for our home. If you want to know how to be a good father, go to the book. If you want to know how you should take care of your family, go to the book. If you want to know how to invest money and bring increase, go to the book, because investing in God's kingdom is the best investment you will ever make. But He's concerned about everything else in your life. This is the standard for me, for holiness, for righteousness, for giving, and for living. God's Word, the Bible is the standard. Say it with me. The Bible is the standard. Gideon's father was the head of their clan. That's why God said, your father's bull, your father's altar. Because Joash was the head of their clan. And he had gotten to the place where there was no moral standard. Verse 25 says, Baal is mentioned, and the word grove is mentioned beside it. The word grove means Asherah, a Phoenician goddess, an image of the same. Now, one commentary said that Asherah was the goddess of the sea, but also, as I studied, the goddess... I found out that she was also the goddess of love and increase. I'd really like to call Asherah the goddess of lust and great loss. Because that's what Baal was, and that's really what Asherah was. The god and goddess of lust and of great loss. I was watching the news this week, and they were talking about Playboy. And said that Playboy now is no longer going to put nude pictures of women in magazines. And going to go a different route. But they've already sown enough sin and nudity
to connect people with pornography, that's damaging. Did you hear that on the news? So they're changing some things. But I'm still not going to buy a Playboy. I don't know about you. All right? The people's worship of Baal and Asherah included lewd acts, sexual orgies, and perversion. Sad to say, the spirit of Baal is alive and active in our world today. Still here. Still here. Immorality is the number one thing Satan uses to destroy lives and to break up homes. Oh, but I got some positive news, and I don't think they have it on the screen back there. And I don't think I gave it to them. Where's Kayla? Kayla, now, this is your favorite verse. So when I get through reading it, I expect you to shout. All right? But I've got hope for you today. And here it is. Now, have what I've spoken to you so far been truth? Amen. This is where we are. That spirit of Baal is still here. But listen to this. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Who is you? Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God has a different plan for your life than Satan would ever have for your life. He has plans to... Was the shout over there? Did I hear an amen from Kayla? There you go. That's pretty good. Pretty good. I'm so glad you love me enough to let me pick on you. Hallelujah. Powerful scripture. See, Satan's goal is to cause us to miss God's plan for our lives. He doesn't mind if you have a nice home, a car, an income. He doesn't mind if you have a whole lot of possessions. Just don't walk in God's plan. But God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. Bigger than anything and better than anything I could ever dream. What do you mean? God's plan is always best. Hallelujah. Gideon's first assignment of getting sin out of his household was preparation for defeating his enemies. I want to be stronger. Anybody else? I want to be more. Anybody want to be more in Jesus? Number three, obedience is a path to the blessings of God. Jesus said, my meat, what pleases me, what feeds me, is to do the will of the Father that sent me. All through his life, his determination was to do what God wanted him to do. And because he followed through and he did that, and he gave his life and he died on a cross, because he gave his life, I'm saved today. Anybody else? Wow. See, Gideon's assignment. Tear down the altar of Baal and Asherah. Destroy the grove that's around them. Build an altar to the Lord and offer that seven-year bull of your father's on the altar. Judges 6:27. Let's go back there for a moment. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and he feared the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. Obedience and fear of men. Is there anybody here that stepped out to do what God has asked you to do and you had a little bit of fear in it? I have, and still do sometimes. Obedience and fear. It's kind of like smuggling Bibles into a foreign land. Once the Bibles are in, lives are changed. The impact of those Bibles being secretly distributed is one person after another being saved. One person after another knowing Jesus. One person after another being set free. Risk is involved when you smuggle Bibles into countries that are hostile toward Christianity. And Gideon took a risk when he obeyed God, didn't he? Gideon risked rejection by his father, and he risked rejection by the people of Israel. And the first impact of his overnight adventure was confrontation and the threat of death. How would you like to obey God and the next day you start getting phone calls or people showing up at your door and say, you need to come out here? Why? Because I'm going to kill you. What did I do? You told me the truth. The enemy don't like the truth. He hates the truth. He knows the Bible says if we know the truth and get it inside of us, the truth will make us free. It feels good to be free this morning, doesn't it? It feels good to know Jesus. It feels good that sin's power is broken in my life. It feels good just to know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It feels good just to know Jesus is real and He lives inside of me and He lives inside of you if you're His today. Oh, hallelujah. But there's risk sometimes in following the Lord. So Satan's first attempt after Gideon's obedience to God was to get rid of the man, with the call of God on his life. Brother Bracken, I'm not called to pastor. I'm not called to preach. I'm not called to teach a class, but you're called to be saved. And with the salvation comes relationship with Jesus. And with that relationship with Jesus comes a call from Him to tell people what He's done in your life and to tell people who Jesus is. Verse 31, we see the intervention of a father for his son. Gideon's father, Joash, his first response was, will you try to save a God that cannot save himself? Joash's second response was, come after my son and you'll be dead by morning. Isn't that what he said? In other words, you better leave him alone. Joash's third response is, if Baal is truly God, he can defend himself. Now in the midst of all of this, finally the people began to back away who came to kill Gideon, and they gave him a new name. A name was given to Gideon, Zerubbabel, means contender with Baal. Gideon didn't just contend with Baal. He whipped him fair and clean. Amen? He whipped him good. Because when he tore down the altars and burned the altar, there was no repercussions. No judgment came upon Gideon. No fire from heaven. No audible voice. No disease came upon him. Nothing from Baal, the god made of wood and stone. Never worship things that are made of wood and stone. Never worship Ford or Chevrolet. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Could it be that Joash, Gideon's father, began to remember the blessings of God in the past? Could it be when he got up and the rubble was there and the sacrifice was there and people were coming that he began to remember the goodness of God? Praise God. Remembering the goodness of God is a good thing. How many of you here can remember the goodness of God in your life over the years? We need to remember what God has done for us. See, Joash's true feelings about Baal was that he was a god that could not even defend himself. So why did he have the altar there at his house? Why did he have the image of Baal and Asherah? Why did he... Tell somebody money talks. But it's not going to talk to me and get me away from God. Say it with me. Money talks, but it's not going to talk to me and get me away from God. Money talked. The people enjoyed the immorality around the altar worshiping Baal. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Wow. One man took a stand in the face of the threat of death. One man had God's hand with him. And upon him. While the rubble of the image of Baal lay all around the ground, the sacrifice on the altar was being accepted by the Lord God Jehovah. While they were coming to take Gideon's life, they could smell the smell of the sacrifice made to the Lord, and God was receiving that. The spiritual atmosphere was beginning to change. When Jesus is actively involved in a person's life, that person and that person is obeying the Lord, everything else is shifted to a lesser place of priority. If you're truly following Jesus, when I'm truly following Jesus, when I'm truly in love with Him and following Him, everything else takes second place. And I'm not talking about just the pastor. I'm talking about everyone that believes and has received Jesus as our Savior. As we walk with Him, everything else comes after that. Why? Because eternity is real, and that's where we're going to spend eternity somewhere. And we need a relationship with a living God that will walk us through this earth and then prepare us for what He has for us over there. And we're not going to be sitting on clouds playing harps. We're going to be worshiping. We're going to be serving. We're going to be doing things for the kingdom in heaven. Can you say amen to that today? Amen. The spiritual atmosphere was changing. Verse 12 said, the angel of the Lord called out to Gideon and said, I am with you, you mighty man of valor. I really agree with some of the commentaries that I've studied saying that Gideon was already a proven warrior. Well, let's take a little bit closer look. Judges chapter 6, verse 33. Let's go back there. Are you still with me? Then all the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east were gathered together, and they went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. All the people gathered after him. And he sent messengers through all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, sent messenger to Asher, to Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came to meet them. Satan, oh, by the way, Satan is real. A lot of people say he's not, but he is. Satan will pitch his tent at your door, and he will dare you to try to step around him or go over him. Genesis 4:7 in the NLT. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. Sin can be lying at the door. The devil will pitch his tent at the door of your house and of mine. Amen? Sometimes, you see, Satan and life sometimes rob us of our health, our possessions, and even of the people we love. Dignity and respect are things we earn. Dignity and respect can be lost. It can be thrown away by the way we live and the choices we make. In Judges chapter 6, Israel had lost the respect of other nations. Their disobedience to God had cost them the dignity they once had. I hate to say it, but there's times I really feel like America is the laughingstock of the world. Now I'll move on. The Midianites came once a year in large, overwhelming numbers and pitched their tents at Israel's door. They came expecting to ravish the land of and Israel and leave Israel with nothing. With nothing to sustain. Nothing to give strength. Nothing to help them physically or otherwise. Oh, but when they came this time, it was going to be different. Isaiah 59:19. Isaiah 15, it's going to be different. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. In the original, it doesn't say it that way. If you study commentaries, it doesn't say it that way. When the enemy shall come in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Lord will display His power and put the enemy to flight. If you're in a struggle today, walk with Jesus, trust Jesus, believe His Word, and see God put the enemy to flight when He's coming at you with everything He's got. He promises He'll send a flood of blessing and of power and of ability that doesn't come from man, but it comes from God. When the enemy pitched their tent, when the sin is at the door, verse 34 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew the trumpet. This time, the trumpet did not warn the people, letting them know it was time to run to the caves and dens. When the trumpet was blown before, it's time to hit the road. Find a cave. Go somewhere where the enemy can't find you. This time as Gideon blew the trumpet, the Spirit of God was all over him. I'm glad we have some wonderful voices and people that can sing up here. But people that can sing is not the answer for this church. Amen. That's not all we need for them to bless us and bring us into the presence of God. They need the Spirit of the Lord upon them and an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them that when they stand, God sings through them and touches us and helps us and brings us into His presence. This time when the trumpet blew, Gideon sent men out all over the land to rally them together. The sound of the trumpet meant the enemy was near. But the sound of the trumpet was also a call to arms. Wasn't time to hide any longer. Amen? I believe there's a sound in the land today that we as Christians need to rise up. The alarm is sounding. Let's stand up for Jesus like we've never stood up before. And let's stand against sin and immorality and against abortion and against the other things that are ungodly. And let's stand up for Jesus and for righteousness. And we need to do it now. We need to do it now. Our sound of alarm, brothers and sisters, is praising Jesus. I like this. Our sound of alarm is praising Jesus and alarming the devil. Yeah. How many of you want to alarm the devil? Brother Bracken, I've never been one that worshiped and out loud or praised out loud or sang very much out loud. I bet you when you're in the shower you do, or when you're driving the car. Instead of singing the honky-tonk song, sing His song, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, and He's coming again. And thank You for Your presence, and thank You for His power. So I repeat, our sound of alarm is praising Jesus. Let's alarm the devil and alarm the devil. Number four, and this is the last one. You thought I had 8 or 10, didn't you? Number four. The Spirit of the Lord makes the difference. I've really touched on that already. The Spirit of the Lord makes the difference. Verse 34, let's look at it again, please. But the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon and he blew a trumpet and Ebenezer was gathered after him. I want you to remember, prior to this, the men wanted to kill Gideon and destroy because of destroying the images of their gods. But because Gideon stood for what's right and righteous, because he stood up for his God, things began to change. Verse 35. And he sent messengers through Manasseh and gathered unto him. And I want to get this in your spirit, messengers to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali. They came to meet him. Why is that so important? And they came. Later in chapter 7, we see that 32,000 men showed up after Gideon blew the trumpet. After he sent through the land to gather the men, 30,000 men, they came after the Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit won't just draw people to salvation. The Holy Spirit can draw people to surround you and lift you up and stand with you in the hard times. 32,000, can you imagine? One man got a word from God, obeyed God's word, and accepted God's call on his life. That's what I need to do. That's what you need to do. Did Gideon struggle with fear as he tore down the altars of Baal and Asherah? Yes. But he tore down the altars anyway. Did he struggle with fear when the men wanted to take his life? Yes. But he stood firm anyway.
Matter of fact, Gideon was amazed when 32,000 men showed up. When just before they wanted to kill him and 32,000 show up and say, come on, okay, what do you want us to do? That's God. He knows how to change the hearts of men. Probably he was shocked. Then as I draw to a close tonight, shortly before, men wanted to kill him. Anybody ever been opposed by people? 3, 5, 6, in business, in church, in life? Well, let me ask this question. This is probably a better question. How many of you realize you've been opposed by Satan? How many of you know he's already defeated? Hallelujah. Now listen, Gideon knew God called him to lead and deliver God's people. No question about God's hand on his life, is there? You must know that God's hand is on your life. We have a membership class that we just started, but joining First Assembly won't save you. Won't get you to heaven. It'll open up some doors that you may not be able to walk through unless you are a member, but it sure won't save you. You got to know God's hand is on your life. Over 38 years, we've pastored ups and downs, and the one thing we've always known, God's hand has been upon our lives. In the hardest times we've ever gone through, we knew God was with us. Hopefully you have God's hand on your life, just like Gideon. But just like him, we struggle sometimes with what's next. What's next? Psalms 107 in verse 2. Psalms 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord, what? Say so. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Anyone here been redeemed from the hand of the enemy? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Can't keep it to myself. Can you? Can't keep it to myself. When you get a new job making more money, you want everybody to know. When you get fired, you don't want anybody to know. God blesses you and win the lottery. You'd like for not everybody to know because they'll want your money, but everybody's going to know. But the redeemed of the Lord needs to say so. When somebody asks you, are you a Christian, what will you say? In that community college recently on the news, we've seen it. And the man, he asked, what religion are you? And everybody that said Christian, he put a gun to their heads and shot them. Those who weren't Christian shot them in legs, the leg and in other places. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Had a funeral here recently and heard about threats on this property during that funeral. The gangs were going to come Saturday a week ago, I believe it was. Had two calls, different sources, said the words on the street. I called the police department. They called policemen in. Had 5 policemen on this property during the funeral. Brother Bracken, what happened in South Carolina won't happen here. How do you know? I believe God's going to protect us and keep us from it. But we don't need to go around in fear. We need to know that God's hand is upon our lives. What did he say? Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. So we need to say it. We need to sing it. We need to shout it. And we need to live it. If you'll stand with me as we draw to a close. I know you thought I was never going to get there. But next time we're going to see that Gideon put a couple of fleeces before the Lord, wanting to be sure the Lord was leading him. You can know God's hand is on your life for salvation. You can know God has called you to do certain ministry. But there's times when you're trying to find His direction and you feel like it's right and you just need Him to confirm it. That's where Gideon was. But I want you to think about what's happening. From no hope to 32,000 men strong.
That was big. From a village of people wanting to take his life to 32,000 said, we're with you. Amen. Wow. That was big. But the enemy and those with the enemy were much bigger in number. Prayer is a path to the blessings of God. Let's talk to him more. Where's your prayer closet? Where's the place you spend time with the Lord? If you don't have one, find a place. Away from TV and everything else. Spend time with him. Obedience is a path to God's blessings. He said obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than taking money out of our pocket and sacrificing and give it when we don't have it. Following him and obeying him is the most important thing in our life. Remember, Gideon had to change things in his own home before he could help others change and before he could lead others. Jesus is the difference. It's not the denomination that matters as much as it is that we believe in Jesus, his death, his resurrection, and him being the only way to heaven, to God. Jesus is the difference. The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is the key. Because when you, he says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. So when we're truly sorry for our sin and we repent, that means we turn from what we were doing, give our life to Jesus, and then he starts changing us. Some people, it takes a little while longer to lay down some of the habits, but God starts to work. Sometimes those who have been in this for a while forget how we struggled as a new believer, and as people get saved, sometimes we expect them to go from here to here when it took you years and you're expecting them to do it overnight. People need to have time to grow and continue to grow. And listen, I'm still growing. Anybody else here this morning? Amen. So as I close, no Jesus, no Holy Spirit. Yes to Jesus, the presence of God in your life. God used one man to begin to change the atmosphere. You're the man that can make a difference in your home, or your job, or wherever you are. You're the woman that can make a difference. You're the young person that can make a difference. Jesus is the way, and guess what? The path is clear. Because there's only one way. You're the one God's talking to today. With God's help, you can turn things around. One man with God. One woman with God. You remember a statement I made last week before we pray? A statement I made last week? Great leaders and great men of God, women of God, come from people just like you. Just like the one standing here. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you're so awesome. I'm so glad that we've always been on your mind. Before we were ever born, you designed for us to be here. Whether born in or out of wedlock, God, you knew and you know. And what matters is that we realize that you create life. And Lord, no matter who we are, whatever our background, no matter who our parents are, no matter whether we've come from the poor or the elite, people with money, with people with no money, or in between. What matters is, Lord, we realize you created us. And you did it for a purpose because you have plans for us. And the number one plan is to know us in a real and personal way, have fellowship with you, and to walk with you all the days of our life. God, we can do that. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes life is difficult, saved or not saved. But Lord, makes it so much better with you. Father, while the heads are bowed and the eyes are closed today, and the Holy Spirit, I know, is speaking. He's talking to me. He's talking to us. There's one woman, one man, one youth who can say, Pastor Bracken, I'm just not really sure if I'm saved today, or I know I'm not, but today's my day. Today godly sorrow worketh repentance. I'm sorry for my sins of the past. I'm sorry for pushing Jesus away. And today I want to receive him. I'm sorry that I've never just taken that moment to say, Lord, come into my life. And today I sincerely want to do that. While the heads are bowed, please, and the eyes are closed, no one looking around, would you just lift your hand right where you are? Anyone in the house? And if you're watching by internet today, you can do it right where you sit. In Jesus' name, anyone this